You're listening to the Bookstorian Podcast, a podcast for book lovers and bookstagrammers. Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Chapters for Change mini-series on the Bookstorian Podcast. My name is Tegan and I am your host. On this episode of the podcast, I am joined by Danielle Binks, an author ambassador for the Chapters for Change Readathon, as well as Catherine White, who is a fellow ambassador for the Chapters for Change Readathon. It is the 1st of July, which means the Readathon has officially started. So I thought, what a great way to actually start the month by talking to some fellow Readathon participants about what they plan to read during the Readathon, how they plan to fundraise and raise money, and any strategies they have for meeting their reading goal. It is a great little chat, so I do invite you to have a listen to it, as well as donate to either Catherine, Danielle, or even myself. You can find each of our donate links in the show notes. And if you want to go that extra mile, why not actually join us to read? There is still time to register. Your registration pack might be a little bit delayed, but you can certainly start reading along with us. I really hope that you enjoy the episode. There is one more coming in the mini series towards the end of the month. But for now, enjoy this episode between Danielle, Catherine, and myself. Hello, and welcome to the Bookstorian Podcast. I am joined by two fellow Chapters for Change Readathon, I'm going to say readers. How are you, Danielle?
I'm so good. Thank you. I say that with an uplift. It's a cold Melbourne night, but I'm being warmed by discussion of books. So I thank you for letting me come on here and just blather on about one of the things I love to do, which is read.
You're incredibly welcome. And how are you, Catherine?
Yeah, not too bad. It's probably about as warm in Adelaide at the moment as it is in Melbourne. So lovely to be here. Lovely to have a nice warm conversation about books.
And I am sitting here in a t-shirt in Queensland. So just in sheer contrast up north.
Stop it. Stop it. That, enough of that now.
I'm going to jump straight in with my icebreaker question. Now, if you are listening along at home and you are joining us with the Readathon and you've received your registration pack, you'll have a little bingo card. And my icebreaker question for you both is, what bingo square are you most looking forward to ticking off?
Mine is actually go for a walk. It's been raining just about nonstop here for a week. I just want to get outside, sit outside and read for a while, walk down to the park, have a good book, just be bliss at the moment.
Nice. And what about you, Danielle?
I'm going to go for right smack in the center and say read a play. Which I don't feel like I do enough, but during COVID and lockdowns, given that I was Melbourne, one of the things I wanted to do for myself was get out to the theatre more. And I've done that. I would give myself an A+ for how much of the theatre going I've been doing. And recently I went and saw the adaptation of Susan Hill's story, The Woman in Black, which was adapted into a play, and it was performed by Daniel McPherson and John Waters. And I just absolutely loved it. So I went off and I bought the Susan Hill story that it was based on, but it's now made me want to go and read a play. So I feel like I might start with those that I used to read a lot in high school, which is Shakespeare. And I'm feeling like Twelfth Night. I don't know. I'm feeling like I want some sibling switch-ups, some shipwrecks. I'm feeling like I'm going to read a play and I'm quite joyous about it, very excited about it.
Nice. I would recommend, depending on how you feel about Shakespeare, No Fear Shakespeare is a really good publication because it has like the modern interpretation on the right-hand side.
So that sounds great.
I'm a drama teacher by trade.
I was gonna say that was recommended like such a teacher.
Yes.
So thank you, that's brilliant.
My little bingo card square that I am most looking forward to ticking off is also to read outside, and I love just sitting out in the warm like winter morning sun, cup of tea, book in hand, and it's a really nice way to start the day.
And that's, I think you've both opted for outdoor activities and I've opted to remain firmly indoors as a Melburnian reading in winter. I wish you both the best of luck though.
But there are like some really great things on the bingo card. Like I won't lie, have a seasonal treat was also a close second that I'm looking forward to reading. And also just little bits and pieces like share your fundraising page or read a book about Cambodia as well.
I really liked that one too. And I feel like I'm going to be asking for recommendations for that one. I think I'm very open to doing that one as well. Also, the make a Cambodian meal. I'm not a great cook, so I'll ask if there's any simple Cambodian meals. But I think that one's really quite wonderful as well. And I also really liked a book with the cover in the colors of the Cambodian flag, which is red, white, and blue. And all I could think was red, white, and royal blue. I'll have to rack my brain a bit more.
So both of you have got an Instagram or a Bookstagram account. So Catherine, I am going to steer this question more towards you because you have a Bookstagram account. What are three words that you would use to describe your Bookstagram account?
Oh, that's a tough one. Unapologetically unique comes to mind. That's two words. I just try to be unapologetically myself. Just try and be as unique as I can on there. That's just very me. Yeah, and I really just like to share the books that I love and what's inspiring me. Yeah.
Nice. And I think most people's Bookstagrams are starting to become more organic and
Yes.
just reflect what they're reading or where they're reading or how they feel about what they're reading or just general like purchasing of
Yeah.
books or loaning books and things like that, which is really nice. I think I've always described Bookstagram as this beautiful little corner of the world because there's always just filled with really lovely and most of the time really honest people. And it's a great spot to go to for book recommendations, but I think we're getting even more authentic recommendations in the last
Yes.
maybe 6 months to 12 months.
Yes, I've started to notice that there's a lot more. Yeah, it's just a lot more organic and people sharing the things that they love rather than it used to be everybody talking about the same book. But now we're having lots of different conversations about different books.
And even the
And
theming, like stepping away from theming and having to look really aesthetic all the time, too.
yeah, just seeing a lot of different things.
Yeah, for
Yeah, which
sure.
I love.
And one of
Yeah.
those about different things that we are seeing and that is hopefully going to unify a lot of readers in the month of July is the Chapters for Change readathon. Myself and Catherine are both ambassadors or got community ambassadors, and Danielle is an author ambassador for Chapters for Change. Danielle, what has inspired you to get involved in the readathon?
Well, Sally, who is the brains behind it, the beating heart behind it, absolutely. The main thing for me was the idea that reading can give back, and particularly to a community who have such a long history of not very pleasant things happening to them, and the fact that there's been such ramifications and repercussions of that are still being felt today. And that one of those repercussions is a lack of literacy, which I feel like for those of us in the Bookstagram book community, that really hurts the thought that reading is such an escape for us. It's such an empathetic, beautiful way to express ourselves, to find ourselves in the pages of books, and to think that there's an entire generation of young Cambodians who aren't accessing that because they don't have the ways and means, and because they are still dealing with the fallout of horrible war and its effects, just really, really touched me. But more than that, it was Sally explaining to me that this campaign was grassroots, that it wasn't people from Australia coming in and taking charge of a charity. It was actually asking Cambodians to take charge because they know themselves better what they need for their communities and for their young people in particular. So I loved the idea that it was just helping Cambodians to navigate their own lives and to navigate their own literacy and give back to their own communities. That was just really, really beautiful to me. But I love anything. I always say that reading is the silver bullet. I truly do believe it connects all parts of education and community and empathy. It helps us to know ourselves and the rest of the world better. So I just felt as an author, as a reader, that this really is the silver bullet. And if I can be part of any campaign that has that at its center, that I would be quite honored to be part of it. And I am, and it's incredible. And I thank Sally for welcoming me into the fold as it was.
Yeah, thank you. I think you've summed up my feelings about being a part of the readathon, but also to be an ambassador and to talk about it and to encourage others to be a part of it. And I think for me, like reading can just be so solitary. And it's really nice to be able to kind of group with other people. And I'm looking forward to the readathon starting so we can see what each other are doing as well and reading. And I'm looking forward to that community side of it. What about you, Catherine?
Definitely looking forward to the community side of it. Chapters for Change. I've been doing things with Human and Hope for a few years now. I got involved a few years ago when Sally first had her book published, and she was with the same publisher that published my brother. So, yep, got to have a look and saw this book and said, hang on, this is very interesting. So I did not realise a lot of this. I did not realise a lot of the problems about volunteerism. So I think it became very important to me. And literacy itself is just so important. I owe such a huge debt to the librarians at my school, my community, and that when I was a child. And to think that other people are going without that just based on where they live, it's just really hard to understand. But I feel like doing this is something that I can do to help and try to help lift these people up and provide literacy, and she will hopefully lift them out of poverty.
I really like that you have a strong personal connection as well, that you know how important literacy has been to yourself and to want to make sure that other people can have that connection no matter where they are. I think that's really powerful. So thank you for sharing that. How many books are you hoping to read, Catherine, for the readathon? What's your goal?
My goal is 6.
I'm a solid 6 as well. I usually read on average 4, so 6 is a bit of a stretch. And what about you, Danielle?
I'm going to be quite ambitious and go for 10. However, I'm going to qualify that by saying I've recently, in recent years, gotten back in love with poetry collections, which are slightly shorter, of course. So one that I've got on my TB to be read is The Sunbird by Sarah Haddad, which I'm really, really excited for. And I'll try and find me one other poetry collection. So I don't want to imply that poetry is a lesser form, but it is a shorter form for when you feel like you just need a little bit of an impetus, a little bit of a kickstart. I feel like if you find the right poetry collection, it can be like kindling to get the fires burning. So I'm going to say 10, but I think 2 of those may be poetry collections just to help me get in the right mindset and to have that sense of accomplishment of finishing a book in one sitting potentially, even though I will savor it to a degree. And I do find that poetry, I may read it quickly, but I think about it for a lot longer and the words tend to linger.
So I think like we're all going to talk a little bit of strategy later on, but I think that's a good little hint at a strategy for trying to reach your goal. Are either of you going to get involved in any of the read-alongs?
Absolutely. Really looking forward to the read-along Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. Perhaps one or two of the other read-alongs as well, just to see how I go.
Well, can I admit, where do you find out about the read-alongs? I'll happily get involved in them, but I need a little bit more of the tech-savvy help. Somebody take my hand and guide me through. Where do I find the read-along information?
Sure. Grab my hand and I'll take you on through. So essentially when you go into your dashboard, so there's lots of great resources sitting there, but on the left-hand side, there is a little subheading that says read-alongs, and you can actually, if you use the Storygraph, you can sign up to sort of officially say that you're joining along with the readathons, but there's all different genres. So there's classics, there's a non-fiction, there's a fantasy, a historical fiction, a crime fiction, which is what I'm going to read along, which is The Torrent by Danuka McKenzie. The third and final episode of the miniseries is actually going to be a episode with myself and Danuka and perhaps one other. Sorry, if you are someone that likes to read a book and then hear a discussion about it afterwards, I highly recommend that you join that read-along as well. Not that I'm biased or anything, but...
That sounds great. You've convinced me. I'll do that one as well. Oh, look at me. I'm just writing checks that I've got to try and cash in now and actually follow through, but I'll do it. I will.
There's a LGBTQIA+, a First Nations, and a romance as well. So there's lots of different books for lots of different tastes.
Oh, that's fantastic. I may do the First Nations readathon in that case.
I also think it's important to mention here as well that there is an author panel that you can register for via your dashboard, and it's happening on the 24th of July at 6:30 p.m. So if you are also interested in hearing from many of the other authors. Definitely, if you would like to hear more from Danielle as well, highly recommend that you sign up. All right, we have got quite a few books that we want to read between us. This is probably one of the more fun parts of the podcast now, where we've talked business and now we're going to talk pleasure. And we're going to talk about the books that we hope to get through in July for the readathon. Catherine, what are you hoping to read?
I think we've talked about Pride and Prejudice enough, which of course is what I was really hoping to read. Yeah, I've also got It's Not Here to Make Friends by Jodi McAllister, who I think is also one of the ambassadors for the readathon.
She is, yes. Wonderful.
Fantastic.
I've got an audiobook series that I'm going to try and complete, not to scare anyone, because I am told when I tell this to people, they do get quite fearful. I listen via my BorrowBox app at a 1.25 speed, which is quite fast, and I can occasionally change to a 1.5 speed, and I really like that. I like the talking fast. It's like watching an episode of The West Wing for me again, or Gilmore Girls. I feel like I watch enough Gilmore Girls that I need the fast talking. So I'm going to try and finish the Holly Black, I think it's a trilogy, the Folk in the Air series that she did, The Wicked King being the second book, and something else with a lovely title being the first book. I can't quite remember, but I've got them teed up. On my BorrowBox app, I've blocked anyone else from borrowing them so that I can finish them at my 1.25 or 1.5 speed. I will do it. I do love an audiobook. I walk my dog a fair bit, so it takes me, you know, a week maybe to get through an audiobook listening at that speed, and I really thoroughly enjoy it. I love being told a story, so I highly recommend audiobooks for anyone who's feeling the pressure of reading.
Yeah, I totally agree. There's so many different ways. And different ways we can read.
I have three books that I'm hoping to get to. So I think we just before we started recording, we acknowledged that most of us are mood readers. So I didn't want to go into July with a massive list of books that I'm going to read, because I will probably change my mind. The first one I have already spoken about, which is The Torrent. It is a crime fiction book. I also, what I like about this is that it's set in northern New South Wales, and that is where my family's from. So I'm quite interested to see if there's any familiar places that are listed. It kind of has potentially like similar vibes to The Dry. So I am looking forward to picking that one up. It's also not really long as well. It's just over 300 pages and quite compact. The second book I'm hoping to read, and this comes down to strategy as well, because it is a little bit teeny tiny, and it is the second book in the Before the Coffee Gets Cold, and it is by Toshikazu Kawaguchi. Mm-hmm. I tried very hard to make sure I'm saying that name correctly, but I read Before the Coffee Gets Cold at the beginning of the year in Japan. I do like to brag about it because it's a perfect spot to read it. So I would like to read the second book in the series. If you haven't read the first book, essentially it is set in a coffee shop where you can be transported back in time. But there are some rules around it, and basically you can only stay and need to stay while the coffee is still hot. So it has that little bit of a magical realism, and it is a beautiful story.
You did the most intense mood reading of reading that book in Japan. Just to let everyone know, that's not necessary for mood reading. Like, we don't have to go to England to do the read along for Pride and Prejudice. It would be ideal. No. But not necessary. But,
definitely,
you know,
not.
Props to you. That's very good mood reading.
Definitely not. But I do really, when I visit a place, I do really love to try and immerse myself in the authors from there, or very much so try and read books set in certain places. And the third book that I am hoping to get to is A Love Song for Ricky Wilde by Tia Williams. I recently reread The 7 Days in June and just really fell in love with her writing all over again. And it kind of like the stars aligned, because I was listening to a podcast today. There was an interview with Emily Henry, and she mentioned this as a romance that she really likes. So it's sitting on my shelf, and I'm like, you know what? That might be a bit of a palate cleanser between the crime fiction and probably the devastating magical realism. Tales from the Cafe.
Like, I'm a mood reader as well. And because we're going into July, I've got a couple of crime fiction books that I could tee up and read. One of them is Vicky Wakefield's After You Were Gone. I love and adore Vicky Wakefield. She's making the transition from writing YA to writing adult crime, which is quite a leap. But if anyone can do it, Vicky Wakefield can do it because she is an absolute queen and a goddess, and I love and adore her. So I've got that one teed up. But sometimes my mood reading, if it's the depths of winter, sometimes that makes me want to reach for a rom-com and like do the opposite. Like I want to feel cozy. So I've also teed up Love at First Set by Jennifer Duggan, which is a queer romance. So I've also got that one set up and teed up as well, just in case the mood reading is actually, no, I'm not in the mood for crime and scares late at night. I actually just want lightness and fluffiness, and a lesbian romance is, quite frankly, will tick every single box. So yeah, I've got everything, every eventuality lined up. It's all good.
Yes, I think that's a really good strategy, especially for a mood reader to kind of float and move between. Catherine, did you have any other books you'd like to mention?
I picked this one up the other day, The God of Small Things.
Oh, yes.
Winner of the Booker Prize in 1997, and I've been meaning to read it ever since. Hopefully I'll accomplish that.
Good excuse.
Fabulous book. Yes. Fabulous book. Wonderful author. You're going to enjoy that one immensely. It is stunning.
So I've been hinting at it for most of our chat, but that was one of the things I was going to ask you both, is what is your strategy? So you want to read X amount of books. How are you going to make sure you achieve that?
I think it's just being a bit inventive with my time and just sort of making time where and when I can. Mm. So different things like catch public transport to and from work. Absolutely perfect time to read on the bus. But also little things like, provided it's not raining, walking down to the park. Then little things like, for example, when I'm cooking or something, I know I've set something for 5 minutes. I know I can pick up my book for 5 minutes.
And nice. Squeezing in that reading time when you can. Danielle, I know you mentioned before poetry is one of the ways that you might be able to put it down. But what else?
Yes, poetry is one of the strategies. Another strategy is I encourage anyone who hasn't already to adopt a dog, and that will force you to go out and walk the dog as I do. And that's where I listen to all of my audiobooks. I can't listen to myself breathing, walking. That is horrendous and horrific. So I have to have something in my ears to block out my own noise as I walk the dog. So that has to be audiobooks. I'm also a really big traveler of public transport, and I can't read on public transport, like read an actual book in my lap. I once again need to have an audiobook narrated to me on public transport. So absolutely that. Another strategy is to just move to Melbourne in July and force yourself to rug up in bed and turn the TV off, as every good sleep doctor will tell you, and read yourself to sleep. Absolutely. But also sometimes you'll read such a good book that you're staying up until 2 a.m. in the evening, which is also a strategy. I say break all of your sleep habits.
All-nighters.
Yeah, do an all-nighter. Like, have horrendous back problems. It'll be worth it to help out this readathon. It will be fabulous. But yeah, whatever you can do, however many slivers of time that you can find, reading is always a good idea. Reading always improves our mind. It flexes our empathy, and doubly so when we're helping out Cambodians to improve their literacy rates, which is going to have such huge ramifications on their entire communities. So just keep thinking that you're reading for a good cause, and also just for pleasure, the pleasure of reading. Nothing is better than it.
That's definitely plenty of great motivation. I was going to say similar things with like using audio books. That's probably something I need to look into. I do like audio, but I get very hung up on non-fiction audio. Is just a better way for me to engage with it, I think. And trying to have a bit more phone free time. I get really distracted if it's sitting in the room, or it's almost as if it's like calling me and wants me just to sit on Instagram Reels. So potentially trying to put the phone somewhere else and not in sight. The other thing, I really like reading in the morning, like before anyone else in the house is awake. So I think I want to find some moments like that going through July, even if it means getting up at 5:30. Like just sitting up and having a cup of tea and sitting on my own for 20 minutes, half an hour before the rest of the household wakes up, and to, take that time, I think will be really nice. The other strategy we have to talk about, of course, is fundraising strategy. So within your dashboard, you can set your goal and how much that you would like to make. So my goal is $500. I'm nearly halfway. So if you are listening and want to donate some money my way, you can check out the link that I'll put in the show notes. I'll also make sure Catherine and Danielle's link goes in there too for you. Some strategies that I have that I'd like to see what you guys think of is definitely sharing via Instagram and Facebook, which are the two social media platforms I use, sharing my donation link. There is also some great resources on the Chapters for Change website as well that you can download and use. So I think I'm going to make sure I do that. One of those resources is a little template where you can check off the books that you've read. So I want to make sure I do that. And as I'm doing that, make sure I pop my donate link in. Sometimes people see it and go, oh, I'll donate. But maybe it'll be the third or fourth time they see it where they actually will click on that link. The other thing I'm going to encourage myself to do is potentially drop the link into some group chats that I'm in and just say, hey, I am doing this month. Like if you can spare $5, just something like that. And there's some great other resources too. So there is an email footer template and there's also a QR code. So if you're super brave enough, you could have that QR code, maybe do a letterbox drop. What do you
That's
think?
That's so good. I'm going to steal all of those ideas, but also I'm just going to take everything as a win. I've already convinced a few people to sign up and the registration fee is $25, which is enough for one child's library fees, which is incredible. So anyone who signs up because I've encouraged them to, I'm taking that as a personal win for me, maybe not towards my personal goal, but the overall goal I think is the perhaps more important one. So for this $25, you can sign up and really change the lives and the futures of Cambodians, young Cambodians. And I think that will be reward in itself. So if you're not too sure about who to donate to, I know there's the three of us. Who do you give money to? The three of us. Who do you give your $5 to? What if you invest your $25 and you put it towards the ultimate goal, the ultimate pot? That would just be incredible. I would be putting some good into the world during really hard times. Whatever you can give, though, anything is appreciated. So that would just be amazing.
Nice. Catherine, do you have any other strategies that you might like to add?
I think one of the most simple methods, just telling my friends, family and friends about Chapters for Change and why it's so important and about Human and Hope Australia. And just sort of share those feelings, and why I think it's important.
Definitely. Follow it up with maybe you could put a little pamphlet together and slip the QR code in and...
There's an idea.
I will be recommending this podcast listen to all my friends and family as well, just to really hammer it home. I'll say everything discussed in this podcast, please refer to.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for joining me on the second episode of the Chapters for Change miniseries.
Thank you so much and happy reading, everybody, and especially to you too. Congratulations, happy reading. I'll see you on the leaderboard. Hopefully not ahead of me, but if you are, then I cede and I bow down. Well done.
Oh, look, you will probably be ahead of me. I think quite a few people are, but I think that's the beauty of doing what we're doing. We're ultimately doing it for a great cause, and it'll be really nice to watch each other over the course of the month and see how we go, but also connect with other readers as well. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Bookstorian podcast. If you've enjoyed it, show your support by following, subscribing, and rating the show wherever you listen, as well as sharing the podcast on social media. Check out the show notes for a list of the books and other media mentioned, as well as links to register and donate for the Chapters for Change readathon. Finally, make sure you head over to Instagram and follow my latest guest, as well as my Bookstagram @Bookstorian_ and podcast account @TheBookstorianPodcast.